Ephesians chapter 6. You know, I said in the very first lesson, I think some 4 weeks ago, I said, if you don't realize that you're in a battle, then you're dead. You're not alive. One of the marks of a genuine Christian life is you do come to realize that you are in a warfare. It's not imaginary. It's not theological. It is very real. Something Paul has said a number of times over this week or so was at Booth. And I think talking about saying standing toe-to-toe with the enemy was at Booth, yeah. That is a real experience. That's not theological, doctrinal. That is not just an emotional thing. We're not just going through things, saints. We don't just go through trials. Well, it's something emotional, or maybe it's something I'm eating, or maybe it's something physical. We as the saints of God, if we mean business, and if we're out to take men and women out of the kingdom of Satan and bring them into Christ, do you not think there is going to be a real warfare? There is, saints. The warfare is the mark of the Christian life. We're not on a picnic. We're not simply on a holiday. We're not on vacation. We are smack right in the middle of a very serious warfare. And saints, by God's grace, we as a church will inflict damage on the kingdom of Satan in this city, in this county, and in this nation. I don't care how ridiculous it sounds. I don't care what people outside may think. I don't even care if all of us have thoughts pass through our mind going, are we crazy? I want to tell you, by the help of God, through the Holy Spirit, by His grace, we shall see something done for God's kingdom. They'll be of eternal worth. And I'll have a knock-on consequence. Now I want to tell you, and I want to warn you, that is a danger to kingdom, to Satan's kingdom. We're not playing games. We're not giving them some sort of self-help, theological, emotional package. We are here with the gospel of Jesus Christ to inflict damage on kingdom, on Satan's kingdom. We actually in this room possess a gospel that can save the alcoholic, save the drug addict, clean up the foulest heart, restore and make whole minds, that can heal the body. It isn't imaginary. We have a gospel. We've been given a gospel that is dynamic and powerful. And yet the devil works overtime to undermine that and to weaken us so that we never fully realize what it is that's been given unto us. If you never realize the power of this gospel, you won't stand with confidence and boldness in that. You'll always be weak, vacillating, capitulating. And the guys pointed out to me, it's a word I'm using, but don't sometimes explain these words. But capitulate simply means to give in. You capitulate. There's pressure. There's things come. And you just give in, throw in the towel and say, well, we'll just go with the flow. That's capitulation. And the Christian can never capitulate. You can capitulate. But that's not the way it's meant to be. We've been given the grace and the power of God to stand in this hour. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're dealing with the third part of this armor, which is the gospel shoes. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren. Says a lot after finally, doesn't he? Yeah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about by truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And notice this next verse. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Father, we just pray again. We just rejoice in you. Lord God, even in the gathering of the saints, we can gather together with one desire and longing and heart. We want to glorify the person of Christ. We want to preach the written word of God. We want to make much and rejoice in this salvation of the cross. My God, I thank you that we find ourselves at peace with our God because of this wonderful gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ having died on the cross, him having paid the penalty for our sin. What a message we've been given. We're not here to play games. My God, we're here to declare war. Even in this room tonight, I pray, my God, will you gird up the loins, Lord God, even tonight, will you help us by your grace and your mercy, not to stand in the power of flesh, because it will only fail us, but Lord God, to put on the armor of God, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. In Jesus' name, just speak to us again tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dealing with the shoes of the gospel, our third part of the armor, the shoes of the gospel. We dealt with the belt of truth, then we dealt with the breastplate of righteousness, now we're dealing with the shoes of the gospel. As I said before, all of these elements of the armor, they are the provision of Christ. It is a putting on of Christ. When we put on the belt of truth, we're putting on Christ as that truth. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are putting on Christ. That's what we're doing, putting on his righteousness. When we put on these shoes of the gospel, of the gospel of peace, we are literally putting on the full provision of Jesus Christ. It's not a theological teaching. It's not something we're trying to implement. It is literally putting on the full provision that's ours in salvation. Now you might think the feet are a very unnoticed thing, and they are in the body of Christ. Feet are something we don't often think about. But I want to tell you, when we come to the warfare, when we come to military issues, when we come to things of fighting the enemy, the feet are absolutely critical. When I was in the army, when we were out in exercise or fighting the enemy, the most vital part of the body was the feet. It was the most important. If you're to be a functioning army, without your feet you can't do anything. When we were out living in the field, the one thing you paid attention to and cleaned and looked after more than any other member of the body was your feet. The feet are a very vital thing to the function of an army. An army can't march, an army can't move, and an army can't fight if their feet aren't in the right condition. If the feet aren't prepared for, or aren't covered, or aren't protected against the enemy, then you'll never stand, you'll never walk, you'll never maneuver, and you'll never fight. If I was the devil, I would want to undermine any provision for your feet. I'd want to blind you to the provision for your feet. I want to close your ears to a revelation of the reality of what God has provided for your feet. Because if you ever learn to stand in these gospel shoes, and ever learn to move in them, and ever learn to fight in them, the devil does have a problem. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan wants to keep you in ignorance, or to make you feel so apathetic or hopeless. Now, what is the point? But saints of God, tonight, put on the armor. Make sure these shoes are on you, and they're fastened tightly. In a military campaign, there's two vital things that you do when you're going into warfare. First of all, you choose the ground. If you're going to be able to stand, you must choose the ground. All the great generals of history, what they always done, they chose the battlefield. They didn't leave it to the enemy. Hear me as we go into this message. Don't leave the battleground. Don't leave the ground where you make your stand. They talk about Custer's last stand. What did they say? He said, well, I'm going to stand here. And they're either going to have to kill me, but I'm not for moving. I'm standing here. I'm not running. That was Custer's last stand. The last place he stood, what a man. Just to stand, said, here I'm standing. I'll either die here, or I'm going to be victorious here, but I'm not moving from this ground. All the great generals of history, they chose their ground. They didn't leave it to the enemy. And if the enemy ever gets you moving and you're running after him to find what ground you're going to fight him on, he'll be fighting you on the ground that suits him. But I'm going to tell you, you choose the ground. How do you do that? I'm on redemption ground tonight. I'm on a blood redemption ground tonight. I'm standing on the ground of Jesus Christ, not on my own merits, not my own experience, not my emotions, not my feelings, not in what I can do, not in some resilience I have. I am standing on the ground of Christ's finished work, of all He's provided for me. It is a finished work, it is a complete work, and it's given to me by the grace of God. That is the ground I've chosen to fight the devil on. If you choose the emotional realm, you're going to be in problems. If you choose theological grounds, you will have problems. I'm telling you, stand in the definite work of Christ and you'll fight the enemy. Choose your ground. Secondly, the feet, the footwear is vital to an army. If you read the history of warfare down over the millenniums, you'll find that whole armies were defeated because they either had no footwear or the wrong footwear. Whole armies were destroyed. Do you know one of the first great generals to discover the importance of footwear was Alexander the Great? And in a short, I think 15 or 18 years, he conquered the greatest empire. He was a young man, barely 30, and he managed to march that army at lightning speed. They could move at tremendous speed, stand against any army, rout any army, or stand against any opposition of the army. He was the inventor of the footwear we're going to deal with tonight. He's the first one to say, if I shot the feet of my army with such a footwear, no enemy will stand against us. Every nation will have to fall before us. We will be a marching army to match any army on the face of the earth. And I want to tell you, if you put on these gospel shoes, there's all hell cannot stand against you. If we as a church make sure we're shod upon with these gospel shoes, nothing can stand against us. This is the very key to the battle we're involved with. We can move it lightning speed. Do you remember in Daniel? What was it that symbolized Alexander the Great and his empire? It was a leopard with eagle's wings. And what it represented was the speed at which he moved. And another, I believe it was the ram, also represented him. And it moved. Its feet didn't even touch the ground. It just moved at a great speed. All of this is to show that Alexander's army moved with lightning speed because their feet were shod. Do you know where the Romans took their shoes from? Do you know where they took everything from? Other nations. That's how the Roman Empire arose and become great. They just took from everybody. Do you know the Celts, the old European Celts invaded Rome 300 years before they come to fame, defeated them, took over Rome, the city of Rome, and held it captive for a period of 6 months. Well, the Celts defeated the Roman army at that stage. You know what Rome done? Rome studied them, looked at their helmets, looked at their armor, looked at their weapons, and just said, thank you, we'll take that. Do you know when Alexander marched his army right across the whole Mediterranean, conquered nation after nation, you know what Rome was doing? Just watching, saying, thank you, we'll take your shoes. We'll just borrow them and we'll march as you did. All I'm saying is the shoes that Paul's talking about, he studied, he saw what those Roman shoes were. And he says, yes, that'll do me rightly. That's just a picture of what I need to do in writing to the church of Jesus Christ. Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 15, and it mentions the foot very interestingly. And it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Here's the feet, or the foot in the body, not realizing how important it was. It desired to be the hand. It thought the hand has an important part in the body. If only I could be a hand, I would have a place of importance and of usefulness. But all I am is a foot. Here is the foot not realizing its importance, that an army can only march on its feet. An army doesn't just march on its belly. You can do days without food. Many armies have marched on without food in their belly. But no army has marched on when its feet haven't been in a right condition. You won't go anywhere without your feet. The feet are one of the most vital parts, yet one of the most ignored parts. And I want to tell you, the members of the body of Christ, there's members, they may be unnoticed. They may feel they're insufficient or lacking or not useful, yet they're some of the most vital parts of the body of Christ. This is what Paul teaches us in the Bible, and we must believe this. So these feet, these gospel feet, these Christian feet of ours need to be shod with something. Let us note as we go into this message what the Roman shoe was like. If you study what the Roman soldiers put on their feet that they stole from Alexander, it was a specially designed shoe that was going to be absolute perfect for this warfare. Notice what it was like. It was very light. It wasn't like a heavy military boot as we imagine it. It wasn't even all made of metal. It's none of those things. It was extremely light. It was practical, it was well ventilated, and it was extremely simple. That's what those shoes were like. You could hardly feel them on your feet. They didn't hinder you. They were very simple, and your feet had plenty of air blowing in around them. They didn't suffocate at all. It didn't hinder you. It was there to help you, not to hinder you. What you find in these shoes that they are made up of two or three separate, distinct layers of leather, all weaved together. They're made out of one piece of material, not many. They're made out of all one material, and even the laces were a part of that one material. These two or three layers of leather were nailed together by about 100 iron studs that come up through the bottom of the shoe. These 100 studs on each of your shoes, you would have 100 iron studs in under that very lightweight shoe. This is what the Roman shoe were. They resembled more sandals than they actually did a military boot. And yet this was especially designed by Alexander, by Caesar, and they used it to conquer whole empires. And I want to tell you, this is a picture of the gospel shoes that you and I have as the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul writes here, first of all, he says, have your feet shod. That's the first vital thing. If you don't have your feet shod, you won't stand against the enemy. I want to tell you that. You won't be able to do what God requires of you. We as a church will not do. If we just say, well, I'm going to do this or going to do that, or we're just going to stand. If you don't make full provision of what Christ has given you, you cannot do that. You don't have the ability to do that. You won't have the resources to do that. But if you hear what Paul writes here, you'll stand against all hell. You'll stand in the darkest of days. You'll stand in the hardest of trials. Oh, you mightn't feel like you're doing very well, but you'll stand, and after the storm is blown over, you'll be found still standing. Paul writes in these verses three times, stand, withstand, and having done all, just keep standing. What a mighty thing, saints of God. The position of standing is such an almighty position. What is the ground we stand on? Redemption ground. I'm not trying to fight my way into redemption. I'm not trying to earn my way into salvation. Yes. I actually make my stand in redemption, in salvation, and I fight out of that position. Do you hear me tonight? We're not fighting our way into salvation to attain onto it or to win it. We actually fight from that position. And if the devil ever gets you confused, well, you're trying to fight your way into the peace of God or fight your way into the blessing of God. He's got you. You were given that by grace in Christ. Now you're trying to fight your way into it. No, the devil's playing with you. Saints, we make our stand. This is where we fight from. Make sure you're standing on gospel ground. Now Paul first says, have your feet shod. The word shod literally means and conveys to us. It means a binding of the whole foot, especially underneath it, very tightly. So there's a binding in around. And Paul is saying here, have your spiritual feet shod, bound tightly in around. We said about pulling your belt tight. Well, tonight I'm saying pull your laces tight. Make sure you've got your laces pulled tight. Nothing like a loose lace, is there? You'll trip over. Nothing like a shoe that's half hanging off you. The lace is coming loose and you just keep on walking. It's a thing of a hindrance. Make sure your laces are done up tonight. But have your feet shod. That's what he's saying. But he goes further than that. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He is saying, have your feet bound tightly with the preparation. And this word preparation is vital, because we're talking about our stand in the things of God here and in the spiritual warfare. It means four different things here. First of all, it means firmness. That's what preparation actually means. It means you're to have your feet made firm. This shoe that's upon your feet that God has given you in Christ, it's to bring a firmness or a stability to your stand. It brings something to your walk in Jesus Christ of a stability, a firmness, something that makes you stand firm. It says in Deuteronomy 33:25, and this is a prophecy or a message, a blessing upon Asher. And it actually says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What's he saying here? He's saying you're going to have shoes made of iron and brass. In other words, these shoes are going to match all the troubles you have or all the enemies that you have. I'm going to give you shoes to match the battles you go through. Is God going to require of you great trials? Is God going to put you in the furnace of affliction? Then he's going to give you shoes to walk through it, saints of God. Listen to me tonight. We are going to be called to certain things in this room. You individually, if the call of God is on your life, and if we're going to do a work for the gospel in this city, you may will face troubles and trials and real enemies. But I want to assure you tonight, God is going to shod your feet with shoes that give you a firmness or a stability or the ability to persevere through great trials. It's interesting that the name Asher, it actually means to be straight, level, honest, or happy. This all speaks about our feet being very firm on the ground, very level, very steadfast, very sure, very settled, and that we're walking straight down the line. There's an honesty and a happiness in this walk of God. But the first great thing about these shoes, they'll give you stability, saints. Do you need it? What happens when the storms come? You feel like you're going to get blown over. You feel like you're getting moved about. You feel unsure. You feel unsettled. You begin to worry and get concerned. But I want to assure you, Jesus Christ has given you shoes that are standing firm in redemption ground, and they'll make you stand firm. In the midst of the attacks of the enemy, you'll stand firm. Secondly, this word preparation actually means preparedness. Or having been made prepared. You are already prepared. That's what it literally means. It's a beautiful word to think the preparation, that your feet have been shod upon with the preparation. Your feet are prepared tonight. In Jesus Christ, you are prepared. You're already prepared. We're not just getting ready for something to do something. We've already been prepared. But this isn't you being prepared. This is that God has given you something that makes you prepared. This is an act in salvation. You were given this in salvation. Do you remember that little lady at the well of Samaria? She had five husbands. Now she's living with another man. Do you remember her? That's the day of her salvation. She's an immoral woman. She's a woman with the past. She's got a woman with a reputation. And here's Christ speaking to her. Do you realize on the day she realized who he was and accepted him, she was immediately prepared? Do you know what she done? She went away down the road to tell all of them in the city. Said, come here, a man. Glorious. Did you go to theological college? Did you go on training courses to learn? Now, how are you going to walk down the road to tell your city? No, she did not. What about the man with the legion of demons? Well, it's going to be 5 years before we get him witnessing to his family. Well, you know he used to cut himself and break chains, and he was a crazy man, and he chased all the city people away from the graveyard. He lived there in the graveyard. He was a crazy man. 6,000 demons in this man. We're going to have to put him through 5 years of deliverance. 6,000 demons, that's going to take us 5 years at least. Going to take a lot of labor and sweat and prayer and fasting. No, one meeting with Jesus Christ, he was a free man. Do you realize he'd only just got born again, totally set free, not a demon left in the parlor. Not one, they're all gone. That was the beginning. And do you know what? He only had one experience of Christ. And do you know what he says? Master, I want to come with you. What did Christ tell him? No, you're going back to your family. You're going back to your city. Do you know why? Because every time they look at you, they know I'm real. They know this gospel is real. There is nothing capitulating about these shoes. I'm going to use it a whole lot more. It's a good word.
Amen.
But look at this man with the legion. He was fully, absolutely prepared. He was given these shoes at conversion. He just went, tell people, guess what happened to me? I don't need to theologize on it. I don't need to give you a whole definition of it. I'm just telling you, Christ set me free and I'll never be the same again. I tell you, saints, we get that in the new birth. I know there's battles. Do you know what? The day you got born again, you were ready to tell men and women. All of us, down over the years, we've told people this glorious gospel. But you know what the devil does? The devil brings the battle to us. And he can almost leave you punch drunk. And if you're not careful, you don't even want to go and witness to someone. And yet, in your salvation, you've only come out of your sin, you want to tell the world. You want to tell your family. You want to tell someone. Guess what Christ done for me? He's real. Saints, we need to get that back in again and not allow the enemy to steal it. This is ours in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, it means readiness. Readiness. This word preparation means readiness. This is all the definition of what these shoes do in your Christian life. Readiness. It says in Exodus 12:11, and thus shall ye eat with your loins girded and your shoes in your feet and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat in haste. Notice this was when Israel was going to come out of Egypt. This is the night of the Passover. Look at them. They're sitting at the table eating the Passover lamb. The blood is on the door, the lintels of the door. They're sitting feasting on the lamb that God has provided for them, sitting in families. But how do they do it? They have their loins girt about. They have their shoes on their feet. They have a staff in their hand. And they're doing it with haste. They're doing it quickly. Now, what does all this represent? It represents readiness. Readiness. These shoes will make you ready. When he says put your shoes on, it's speaking about you as a Christian being ready. Not only that you're already prepared, but I'm ready. Saints of God, I'm ready tonight. Do you know, some of these days soon, we're going to be going from our meeting straight out. We're going to get just excited, happy, rejoicing. Say, come on, we'll do it. Wasn't pre-planned, we're just going out in the street now and preach this gospel. Why not when we're here in the presence of God together? Why not just go now? Now's as good a time as any. Why keep all the blessing in here? There's a world out there that needs it. But there's a readiness with those who wear the gospel shoes. And fourthly, now the word actually means equipment. In other words, you're equipped with everything that you need. These shoes give you everything that you need. You don't learn it. You don't earn it. You're given it by God's grace. You have everything that these shoes are. You're given it. You're equipped with these shoes. You don't go on training courses. You're given this by the grace of God. And you know that I don't do away with training. I'm with learning. And with growth and maturity, we don't do away with those things. But I'm saying there's something that we have been given in Christ Jesus. It says in Deuteronomy 29:5. And this speaking about Israel walking 40 years in the wilderness. And he says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. And thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy feet. 40 years. The shoes haven't worn out, saints. These are wonderful shoes. This speaks about full provision. God has made full provision in these shoes. Do you realize these gospel shoes, they'll never wear out. They'll never wear out. You won't need to get a second pair or a third pair or a fourth pair. These are sufficient. Don't replace them for any others. If a new movement comes along, new spiritual movement with new ideas, don't swap your shoes. Don't let them con you and say, we have better shoes for you to wear. Throw away those old dusty things. You know what I'm going to say? These shoes brought me through many trials. These shoes made me to stand when the enemy come against me many times. I don't need your new gospel shoes. I don't need another gospel or a new gospel. These old-fashioned gospel shoes are all I need. I don't want your new. It says in Luke chapter 5:22 concerning the prodigal, that when he comes back to the father's house, he says, bring forth the best of robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What's it doing? You come into the father's house again, you messed up, you blew it, just come back on. Get those shoes back on. Do you know what? He was out there walking about with no shoes on. You know, a man who's out there about to eat pig feet, or about to eat pig food, I tell you, he's a man without shoes on. He's a man that doesn't realize what the Father's provided. Yes. He's a man that's blind and ignorant and has lost his way and he's got confused in this battle. But just come back to the Father's house, and any backslider can come back in, and immediately he gets the shoes again. Immediately, he doesn't earn them. He's not put in probation. He gets these gospel shoes in order to stand again. They're his right in Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 12:8, and this is Peter in prison. The angel comes to him, slaps his side. If you Christians need a slap in church, I wish there was a whole lot more angels like this. Just come along, maybe nudge you. But we need a few gospel angels to wake up the saints. What are you doing sitting here in this prison cell? Oh, I'm chain master. The doors are locked. I'm in here all alone. They're going to kill me. Oh no, I'm an angel from the Lord. The angel slaps him. And what does he say? Gird thyself and bind thy sandals on. Notice, bind them on. Get those shoes on, Peter. I'm not finished with you yet. The Lord sent me. I'm an angel of the Lord. Don't you sit here in depression. Don't you say it's all over. Don't sit there, Mr. Mopey Mouth. I tell you, get up. He had a slap. And do you know, saints, we do need a slap. We need a good Holy Ghost slap at times to say, why are you sitting there? Peter, get out and preach in those streets. Peter, get out back on the course again. Do you remember what I've done in your life? Do you remember how I've used you in the past? Do you remember those old times when the Spirit of God fell? Just get stirred up again. Bind those shoes on and let's get to it. All the doors are open. Your chains are off. Let's just walk out of here. A lot of people sit in prison cells whenever God has opened the doors, broken the chains and provided for their feet. Oh, thank God that we do have gospel shoes tonight. It says this preparation, it does come from something. What's going to give me this firmness or this preparedness or this equipment or this readiness at any point to go to it? What does it? It says the preparation of the gospel of peace. What gives me all this that I'm speaking about tonight? It's the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the exact same gospel that we read of all through the New Testament. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of God's grace. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that's called Paul's gospel. In other words, he preached it. This is what it is. It's having your feet prepared or bound around with this gospel, saints. We're saying the real gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the cross, the gospel of redemption, the gospel of the blood, the gospel of what Christ done for you. Bind your feet with it, saints. That's how you're going to stand. That'll make you ready. That'll equip you with everything that you need. See, if you just make much of that gospel. Oh, but sure, we all know the gospel. Tell you, saints, many a Christian is starving to death, little realizing the depth and the reality of this gospel. He says here that their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word gospel actually used here, it means good news. The gospel is good news, saints. If we ever forget that the gospel is good news, our message isn't a message of judgment. Neither is it a message of condemnation. The world's already condemned. Isn't that what Christ said in John 3? He says, sure, they're already condemned. We don't come to condemn them. They are condemned. They are on their way to hell. We are here with a message of good news. When you preach the gospel, you better make sure that your feet are shod upon, bound around with the good news of Jesus Christ. How are you going to stand? It's all bad news. It's all over. Everything's evil. Everything's bad. No, I've got my dancing shoes on tonight. I'm rejoicing, saints, because it's good news. He died for me. He loved me. He gave me grace. He gave me mercy. Forgave all my sins. That's where I'm standing tonight. That's what's binding my feet tonight, is the good news of Jesus Christ. Not of wrath. I'm not under wrath tonight. I'm not under judgment. I'm not under condemnation. I know what was done to me in the gospel. I've been made free, saints. Yes. I'm a free man. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed by the blood. It's the gospel of peace, where peace has been made between me and God. That's what's preparing my feet. That's what's giving me stability. That's what's making me ready all the time, is that I know my feet are bound about by a gospel of peace. Once I was an enemy with God. Once I had enmity, once there was a division between his kingdom and my heart, but now peace has been made through the blood of the Lamb. I'm at peace with God. I have the peace of God in my heart. This is the good news of the gospel, that I have peace with him. If a man isn't fully assured of this peace or of this gospel, he'll never make a firm stand. He'll never be prepared or ready. When the devil begins to undermine your confidence in these gospel shoes, you are in trouble. It's no longer a good message to your heart that gladdens your heart and makes you to rejoice. Now the message of the gospel is a heavy burden. You're wearing clogged shoes instead of these light gospel sandals. It is something that's binding you, hindering you, and stopping you to move. It's something that isn't helping you anymore. Saints, be sure that you're standing with your feet shod upon with the good news of Jesus Christ. This same word, we also get to announce or proclaim good news, or to evangelize. Evangelizio in the Greek. It's where we get the word evangelize, and it means to announce or to proclaim good news. Not only just standing in it, but proclaiming it. The word peace means quietness or rest. We've seen in the Old Testament previously that it's actually the word shalom. It's one of the greatest words of blessing, prosperity, of joy, of everything that you need. So here's a gospel that provides everything. It brings peace to your soul. It'll settle your mind. It'll set everything at rest. Where is my final destination? Where am I going? Is God in control of my steps? Does he know about me? Does he love me? Does he care for me? Will he keep me? Will he preserve me? Will he save me from the hand of my enemies? All of this brings the peace of God. Let me finish with three great days we need these shoes for. First of all, a day of warfare. Notice that it talks about these gospel shoes in the light and the context of facing the devil. These aren't just shoes generally. These shoes in this verse speak about our warfare with Satan. Without these shoes, you will not stand in the day of battle. We do have a warfare against Satan, and these shoes have been provided that you might stand against the devil. With these shoes on, all hell can knock you out. Can't knock you out. What does it say here in Ephesians? That if you put on the full armor of God, you'll be able to stand in an evil day. You'll be able to stand against the enemy. You'll stand against his devices. Remember what the devices are. Cunningly pre-planned, subtle, specific plans to come against your life. You'll stand against them if you wear these shoes. These shoes are a defensive weapon against the devil. Do you hear me? These shoes aren't just a general bit of clothing. These are armor. These shoes are armor against the enemy. These shoes have been given to do battle against the enemy and to stand against all his wiles. It says in Genesis 3 and 15 concerning Eve. When Satan, the serpent, the devil, deceived her. And God is now pronouncing the curse. He says, and I will put enmity between thee, that is the serpent, or the devil, and the woman. In other words, there's going to be a war between the seed of the woman and between the serpent, the devil. There's going to be a perpetual war, a never-ending war between the two. And it says, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Notice here that even Eve and her descendants in Christ would have these shoes on. These shoes would be able to literally bruise the head of Satan. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ bruised the head of the serpent. He bruised him. He trampled on the serpent at Calvary. Now look what it says in Luke chapter 10:19. And this is Christ speaking to his apostles. Behold, I give unto you power to tread. What do you tread with? Your feet. Now believe me, if I don't have the right footwear, I'm not going to be standing on any serpents. I'm not going to attempt to stand on scorpions unless I know I've got the right footwear that will protect me. But here Christ says, tread, I have given you power. It's in my power. I have given you power, authority, the ability, the right to tread on serpents and scorpions. These weren't natural. These weren't normal animals. Talking about spiritual creatures. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notice what he says to them. Nothing shall hurt you. These shoes will protect you. You could walk through a cage filled with serpents and they're not going to harm you. Saints, if you have these shoes on, you can have demons on the left and the right. You can go into the worst drug hole in this city and you're preserved by God's grace. Yes. You're prepared, you're firm, you're ready. You've got authority over hell. We do have authority tonight. In this city, we as a church, with these gospel shoes, have been given authority and power over the power of the enemy. Don't fear the enemy.
Yes.
Without these shoes, you ought to. With these shoes, you're commanded to take up scorpions. You've got the right to do that. But he goes further and says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is the essential thing of these gospel shoes. Your name's written in heaven. You're on your way to heaven. You're on redemption ground. You're making your stand. The enemy can't touch you, but don't rejoice in that. These shoes are going to get you to heaven. They're not only serpent proof. They're not only demon proof. These shoes guarantee that you're going to get there. This is how you get there, saints. Your name's in the book. How are you going to get there? Just keep walking. You've been given good, sturdy shoes that have never worn out. They never will run out, wear out. They're sturdy shoes. These shoes are like the shoes in the wilderness. They'll never wear out. They'll grow with your feet. Do you know there's some little boys went into that wilderness, 10 years old. Their feet were totally small. Do you know what? Their shoes grew with them. Grew with them. As they grew, the shoes grew. It just accommodated them. Lightweight, fitting, simple. Just keep on growing with you as you walk in this journey. These shoes will never wear out. Secondly, they're given for a day of proclamation to the whole world. Not only for a day of warfare against Satan, but a day of proclamation to the world. That you may be able to stand a march, not only to stand against the enemy, but to go and do something. Remember those striking likes of Alexander? With these shoes on, we can do a striking head on the enemy. He doesn't know where we're coming from, when we'll do it, when we're going to hit his front forces. He doesn't know when we'll evangelize the Mormons, the JWs, or the Catholic priests. He doesn't know. When you've got a people who are literally prepared, they have the gospel shod on their feet. They're ready. I don't know who I'm going to meet today. The Lord does. The devil doesn't know. I don't know. But God does. He knows where he's going to lead me. He knows who's going to come to me. He knows who's going to receive of a track. He knows who will walk into a meeting. Not even the devil knows that. Saints of God, we are prepared for the proclamation of the gospel. You don't need a special training course. All you need to do is make sure you've got those laces tight. Yeah. Make sure you've got your shoes on. Make sure you avail yourself of the provision. Notice what Paul says, because he uses this term concerning the gospel of peace in Romans chapter 10. It's the only two times we get the statement, gospel of peace, used in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6 and Romans chapter 10. Notice what Paul says in verse 13. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, and notice this, a quote from Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good, or the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul is saying here that we as believers have on these gospel shoes. We have been commissioned, saints of God. He gives the whole dilemma here, all the way down the line. If someone isn't sent, how are they going to preach? If they don't preach, how are sinners going to hear? If sinners don't hear, how are they going to come to believe this? If they don't believe this message, how are they going to call out? And if they don't call out, how are they going to be saved? This is the dilemma Paul gives. But you know what he's saying here? He says, ah, but you, the church, have been given the gospel shoes. You've been given them at conversion. All of these saints, the woman of Samaria, the man with the legion of demons, as soon as they're born again, they become proclaimers of Christ. Timidity, lack of experience, knowing what to say does not disqualify you. Paul is saying, how beautiful are these feet? Do you know you have beautiful feet tonight? Maybe no one ever said that to you. I'm going to say it to you tonight. You've got beautiful feet. But they're spiritual feet. And they're feet that are shod upon with the gospel of peace. Your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Where you go, that gospel of peace goes with you. If you're condemned, you'll take a message of condemnation. If all you feel is the wrath of God, that's what you're going to take. But you get happy in your soul. You get on fire for God. You start feeling the joy of the Lord. You're going to overflow on someone. Have you ever went up to someone and just said, do you know how happy I am and sins forgiven? Do you know how glad I am I'm on my way to heaven? Do you know how much I love Jesus Christ? Do you know that I'll never spend eternity in hell? This is the gospel shoes. And saints of God, we do have a message. You have beautiful feet when your feet are shod upon with the gospel of peace. And when you bring glad tidings of good things. Beautiful feet. These shoes have been given that you might proclaim the gospel. You've been given shoes that you're fully, absolutely ready. All of us in this church are ready to preach the gospel. All of us have a message to give sinners. There's none for you to learn. The gospel is one of the simplest things in the Bible. We're not talking about the deep theological issues about the tribulation. We're not talking about something profound or deep about election or predestination. We're talking about the simplicity of the gospel that brings men into peace with God. It's simple, saints. It's dynamic. It's powerful. This is the gospel. It is a simple, clear, uncomplicated message of blood redemption. Thirdly, is the day of restoration and revival. These shoes have not been given only to stand against the enemy in a day of warfare. Not only to carry you out to preach the gospel, but thirdly, they've been given for a day of restoration and revival. These shoes have been given that we have a message for a church that's backslidden, that's confused, that's got messed up with heresy, and has been carried off with the enemy. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 52. Because this whole chapter is about Israel when they were carried down into Babylon. Do you know they spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon? This is God's people, but the enemy is exalted over them. They're God's people, but they're not in the land. They're not in a state of revival. They know the truth. They believe he's God, but they are not in the land of promise. They're not seeing the fulfillment of all the promises. There's no revival. Souls aren't being saved. God isn't moving in the gatherings. No sick are being healed. That's what it means when the church has gone into a Babylonian captivity. Now listen to what it says. Verse 1, awake, awake, put on strength. This is what the prophet is speaking to the church of that hour in Babylon. Awake, awake. There needs to come an awakening. I want to tell you, the church needs a spiritual awakening. She is sitting in Babylon. She's mixed up. She's discouraged. She's defeated. She's a slave, a prisoner of a religious system that's stolen her life. But here the prophet begins. Awake, awake, put on your strength. Notice with the gospel armor, we have to put it on. It is ours. But so many sit there in defeat. The prophet says, put on, O Zion. He calls her Zion. Do you know when the church is defeated, he calls her Jerusalem. When he speaks about her as revived and restored, he calls her Zion. That's what the prophets all through the Old Testament, either Jerusalem or Zion. But he's speaking to Zion here. He's restoring the church again. He says, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse 2, shake thyself. Saints, shake yourself tonight. Wake up. Wake up, saints of God. We need to see a revival in this city. We want an awakening in this church. It's the enemy who'll blind you to the joy of salvation. It's him that'll blind you to victory in Christ. It's him that wants to make it confused. He's a stealer, a thief, a liar. Shake yourself tonight. For henceforth there shall no more come in. Sorry. Shake thyself from the dust. You ever felt like dust has settled on you? Do you know when dust settles in a room? When nothing's happening. Just feel like nothing's happening. Everything's covered in dust. Well, he says, shake yourself and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Talk about redemption, being bought back. God is going to bring the church back again. Saints, I want to tell you, these shoes are for a day of revival again. Somebody is going to wake up. Some church is going to begin to use these shoes again. They're going to say, I'm tired of the discouragement. I'm tired of the defeat. I'm tired of the worldliness. I'm tired of us being like Babylon. I'm tired of all these influences. Let the church be the church again. Amen. Saints, you and I, let us awaken. Let us shake ourselves. There is something better, church. Oh, that in this city of Limerick would again a church come back again. You know, in those days of Thomas Walsh, there were people who prevailed in prayer. There were people who lived holy in this city. There were people who hated worldliness and had no time for gimmicks of religion. They began to march in this city. Let it happen again to us. Let this be a church where God can begin to awaken us and shake us and stir us. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. And the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Verse 7, notice this. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. It's speaking about these gospel shoes. It's a day when God is beginning to awaken his church again. He says the enemy has oppressed. The enemy took my church captive. They've been held prisoners. But oh, awaken, church of God. Get those shoes on. Get your gunnies on. We're going for a run. Make sure the laces are pulled tight. Saints, it's not going to be the same. We're getting through this battle. We are going to stand against the enemy. We will encourage one another. We're going to preach a gospel to this city. We are going to see a church revive. We're going to stand against the onslaught of the enemy. But notice these five things as we finish about how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of him Now notice the five things it says. First of all, that bringeth good tidings. This is speaking about the condition of the person. The person who wears these beautiful gospel shoes. First of all, it says they bring good tidings. The word is all one Greek word. And it means to be fresh, full or rosy. To be cheerful and announcing glad news. Saints, get your shoes on. We've got something to rejoice in. Why are you sad, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Remember David in the Psalms? He speaks to himself. David, why are you cast down? Well, I've had a rough day. David, what are you doing depressed? Well, nothing works for me. It's all doom and gloom. I'm not sure if I'll make it through. David begins to talk to himself and stir his own heart. Look at this. Get your shoes on, saints. There is a gospel of peace. But God made atonement for your soul. He made peace between God and you. He quenched the wrath of God over your life. He forgave all of your sins. He has broken the chains over your life. You've got every reason to be rosy, fresh. Those rosy cheeks coming back on. Put the shoes back on. And I tell you, colour will come back into those cheeks. We ought to be cheerful in the good news of Christ. Don't be sad tonight, saints of God. Don't be discouraged tonight, saints of God. Don't be downcast tonight, saints of God. Get your shoes on and begin to dance in the glory of God. Do you remember what we said? God has given us a garment of praise when we feel good. No. God has given us a garment of praise when everything's working okay. God gives us a garment of praise when we feel glad. God gives us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Isn't that right? It is real saint. Look at secondly, that publishes peace. So first of all, they're cheerful. They've got their shoes on. There's a cheerfulness of the good news. Secondly, that publishes peace. That means that makes everybody hear shalom. Here they are, shalom. There is a peace with God. You can experience the blessings of God. They want everybody to hear it. These shoes make you say, do you know you can have peace with God? These shoes, I can feel them tonight on me. They cause me to tell someone, do you know you can have all your sins forgiven? Do you know God will give you assurance of salvation that when you die, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you'll be with them? I'm wearing my goodies tonight. Thirdly, he says, that bringeth good tidings. Notice that's the same word. That bringeth good tidings of good. The first is the condition of them. Secondly, this is their message. And it means pleasant, agreeable, excellent, or beneficial. The message that we have is beneficial. It's beneficial to the drug addict. It's beneficial to the religious man because he's going to die and go to hell. It's beneficial to the person that has no hope. It's beneficial to the person who's condemned with their sin. It's beneficial to those who have no power to change. Our message, our glad tidings, is beneficial to everybody round about us. To your boss, to your family, to your children, to your relatives, to your neighbours. Fourthly, it says it publishes salvation. You make salvation known. Fifthly, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. This is what they're saying. What, to the world? No. To the church. Since this last point, there's a day of restoration coming. There's going to be a people who put these shoes of the gospel back on. What happened when Wesley came preaching? 300 years ago, a man put on the shoes again, and he come back to the church, and he began to say, there is a revival. There is a revival. Evan Roberts put them on, and there's a revival. Let's restore this church overnight, in 1 year, in a whole nation, where the whole church gets recovered. That's what the prophet is saying here. Where are these men who are going to come with gospel shoes again, who can heal the breaches in the walls, who can make the church holy again, who can recover the redemption, who can make it glorious again? That's what he's saying. Let's say unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Saints, it's time that we realize that our God is reigning in the heavens above. Our God does reign. It's not all defeat. It's not all over. God has us here in his sovereign plan and purpose. We are a church birthed in this city, in the will of God, in the plan of God, and our God reigns. Amen. My God reigns in this nation, in the world, in the heavens. He has all power over Satan. He has got all power over the hearts of men. He opened the heart of Lydia, didn't he? Yeah. Paul sent him there. Well, sure, it's only a few women down by a river praying. God sent me all this way. That was a long journey. That was a very long journey. God sent me all this way to visit a wee woman's prayer meeting. Yes. But out of that is going to be birthed a church. They'll send the gospel into Europe. Stand with me tonight. Have you got your shoes on tonight, saints? Have you got your shoes on? Pull those laces tight. Father, we just thank you tonight. You're a good God. You're a mighty God. This is a wonderful gospel, a gospel of peace. We've got a message, my God, that can reconcile the farthest, most desperate, most demonized sinner in the streets of Limerick.